Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, thank you for the anointing to speak, to teach, because we want to hear from you only and only from you. We don't want to hear my opinions nor the opinions of others, but what you say. What your opinion is what our opinion is from here on out. Because your word always, always is true. We thank you for every person that will be listening to us and in different places around the world. Thank you for every person who will be watching us through television, those who will listen through radio, those who will eventually watch us and listen to us through the internet and different places. We thank you, we glorify you, and we bless you. And we thank you and we ask for your help. And by faith we receive it. To deliver the word. And he who is listening, you help him to hear correctly. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, they were informing me that this is session number 11 in our series, Saving Your Soul. We have a couple sessions now. Now there are 10 past sessions. The first 10 sessions, they're in our section of Bible study in our website, mpfccc.org. And I'm going to mention some of the sessions that we saw. Not all 10, but some of them. One of them is renew your mind. Renew your way of thinking to your identity in Christ. That was one of the first. The other one is your identity in Christ is by the grace of God and not by you. Another session that we saw in the form of a question. Can a Christian experience judgment under the grace of God? In another one, we saw on the body of sin. In another one, judgment under Christ, etc. And there are subjects that, in my perspective, are very interesting. And the first subjects we saw of your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, of your new person. Amen. Now we're going to continue this morning. Go with me to redeem our time in James 1:21, and I'll be using it in the Amplified Classic Version. James 1:21. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth. What is that rampant outgrowth, that uncleanness? It's our way of thinking, which are contrary to the Word of God. What I spoke just a moment ago before starting. And in the humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. The only way then here that we see that if you welcome in a humble spirit, a gentle, modest spirit, then the word of God will root itself in your heart. In the other way, now, in Romans 12, again in the Amplified Classic, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Again, one more time. It says, in His sight. The last part says, at His sight. This is speaking of the sight of God. One more time. Do not be conformed to this world or to this era. Don't mold yourself to it. Fashioned and adapted to its external superficial customs. Another way of saying this is the way of thinking of the world. But be transformed. Where is that transforming going to happen? If you've been born again, your spirit has already been transformed. So where is that transformation then? Here in your mind and your way of thinking. For example, if you observe things, not to observe things to get worried, but if you observe things in a general form, depending on what age you're at, let's say you're older than 30 years, perhaps more than 40, maybe close to me, like 50. It all depends. You'll see that society has changed. There's no more respect, for example, towards elderly. Nowadays, the amount of crimes and criminals here in the United States, not all over the United States, but in certain parts, certain cities, and in certain states here, we've seen an increase in the youth, an increase of crimes in the youth. Kids of 11, 12, 13 years old assaulting people, threatening people on subways and in metro stations. New York and the such. And we can see a change in society. And we can blame, we can blame many things. We could say, perhaps we could say, oh, it's a school's fault. Perhaps there's some truth in that. But if you go to the Bible, if you study the Bible, and this is about changing your way of thinking, the responsibility is placed on the parents. And nowadays, we have parents who let their children do what they want to do. They decide what to do. They decide when they're going to come to church or to their churches, wherever it is. These are Christians in general. They decide, the parents in their majority of Christian parents, do not act like parents. And they're being a great burden to their children. And many of them are just praying and praying and declaring the word. But there are moments in acting on the word. There are moments in where you, what you hear, and I'll tell you something, if you hear from the word of God, it'll be the Spirit, and the Spirit will never be wrong. The Spirit will always guide you to the truth. Just some services ago, I told you something of my son Anthony, who helps in translations, where he said, oh, you know what, I go from here playing guitar to then multimedia, and that or it can be tiring. And he said, I understand, but I said, for now, you're going to help me. I didn't ask him permission. I didn't tell him if he wanted to. While he lives in my home, and that's the error of many parents, and that's the error of some of you here as parents as well. Your children decide. And then many issues that you have are caused because of you yourselves. Now, speaking in general to all parents here, in general, whoever's listening to me, and then you get frustrated against. But it's because those parents lack being parents. Parents doesn't mean giving them everything, giving them toys and clothes and glory to God. If you can do it, that's fine. But it's not what the Bible speaks of. And they decide. And that indicates a lack of maturity from those parents. And then don't expect much maturity from your children as well. Don't expect much maturity from the youth. Now, there are mature youth, but don't expect the maximum. But we should expect the parents the maximum amount of maturity, especially when they have time in the Word. If not, then that's when the Word becomes unfruitful. Now, notice again in James, the last part of the verse. The last verse in James 1, being rooted and planted in your hearts. What does that word mean then? It means it casts roots in you. There are trees that can be 5 meters, 7 meters tall. And if you're going to see the root is bigger than the tree itself. If you don't change your way of thinking, doesn't matter how much you pray, how much word you declare, how much you pray in tongues, and we should do all of this. But there's a way in acting on it. How do you do it? Just as a ritual form? Or are you doing it primarily because you love God? You want to have a relationship, as I've taught in our midweek services. And while you're praying, while you're seeking from God, then what happens? Is you will receive from God as well. You understand? If you expect for them out there, well, today we have a new administration, Brother Hughes. We have a new government. Glory to God. For how long, though? How long does a term last? 4 years? And then here in the United States, in the 2 years, they change Congress. And if this party or the other party wins, so you cannot depend 100% on the world and on who's a president or who's a governor or who's in the Senate. That's for the good of the country in general. The rest of the country. But you and I depend 100% on the word of God. On the word of God. You see? You see how society has changed. I was traveling this week and I stopped in a gas station. Stopped there, I put some diesel in my truck. Then from there, my truck, remove it from the gas pump once I finish, because someone else might want to arrive. But the majority of people don't do that. They just put their car there, go buy something, use the restroom. And there's a line there struggling because they can't find a pump. But no one thinks on that. It's, oh, I already made sure that I had my spot. That's what I refer to changing your way of thinking. Then I come in. I go into the store and the bathroom, men's bathroom, disgusting. It was like people used the restroom on the outside instead of in the toilet. You couldn't use it. And I went out and I said, I can't use this. I went out and one of the workers was coming in and he came to close the bathroom while they were going to clean it. And he told me, you can use the woman's bathroom. I said, well, I'm very conservative. I'm conservative politically and even in those things. He said, oh, well, you know, you can use the restroom because the ones that we're going to put. And they put a sign where it said that the woman's bathroom was going to be unisex for the moment. Because the other bathroom was unrecognizable. It was disgusting. You know why? Because the people don't have consideration. They don't have consideration for the employees that have to clean up their mess. My God, if you're a man, or I can't give you advice as a woman. Praise the Lord that I'm not a woman. No, I'm saying glory to God because God made me a man. So I'm a man. I'm a man, period. And if you're a woman, well, then you're a woman. And if you have wings and feathers, you're a bird. Simple as that. If you're a man, whatever stall you go to, you be here at church or another bathroom, wherever, when you're urinating, point in the center. And if you end up on the side splashing, grab some toilet paper, clean it around. Have consideration for the people that are going to come after, because someone has to come and have the obligation. Who has the obligation to clean up your mess? Amen. Have consideration for whoever, wherever, here at church, at home, in another place, in a public place, at school, a store, wherever. Change your way of thinking for the love of God. But you know what? When you don't have love, gratitude, honor towards God, you won't have it towards anyone else. Doesn't matter. To any other human being. And we've lost those values in society. But it all starts at home. Means that at home, those children are not well educated. And if they are, some parents perhaps could make an effort. But it means that their children are receiving influences from somewhere else. But the Bible does not fail. Amen. Bible says that if you instruct your child in his way, he will not depart from him. So you have to grab hold to that promise. You see that there's no consideration to anyone else nowadays, for example. You see people crossing the sidewalk as if they live out there on the field. You know, coyotes, all types of other animals pass there. They're not asking permission. And that we have two coyotes on not so many coyotes on 2 feet after this new administration came in. But that's another subject. No. But, you know, people just pass as if nothing. You know what? Because they have an entitlement mentality. If you're the person where they gave you the pass, you're on the sidewalk onto an intersection of a road, you thankfully say thank you. Have a good day, God bless you. And you walk. Or when you're passing, you wave. Be thankful. Put a smile. Well, I don't feel like it. That the person who gave you the way, it's not his fault. Or backwards. When you see someone that wants to cross, yeah, especially if they're elderly or children, have respect for them, especially, give them their way, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but sometimes it is, depending where you are, what city, what road, traffic. Amen. Sometimes my children get very uncomfortable when they're with me, get a little nervous. Because we would come here on the street on, which one is this? A Avenue, and where do you live, Perla? 9th Street? On A Avenue, 9th Street here in Douglas. We're going north side. And one of those new youth that we have nowadays, right? It's like 11 in the morning and they just woke up, still half asleep, with a dog. I think I gave him the way more because of the dog than him. And I gave him his way. And nothing. I lowered the window. I parked. I lowered the window. And Anthony was with me on the side. And Anthony said, uh-oh. And ducked down. It went down. And he said, you're welcome, you big dummy. Because we live in a society where I tell you, there's no respect towards anyone. You know what the issue is? Issues when I see it in Christians and in Christian parents. That's the issue. Now, 1 Corinthians, and I haven't even touched on our study yet. 1 Corinthians 13. That's how it is, brother. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. This is the important part of the love of God. The love of God towards others. Again, the love of God. Love isn't just giving your children everything and destroying their lives. That's hatred. Actually, in Romans 12, part of the love of God. Change your way of thinking. That's what this means. Saving your soul, rescuing your soul. Change your way of thinking and think how God thinks. Remember what I told you in this series? I'll take you from what is literally the new birth, as you, a child in Christ, God loves you regardless of your actions. But I'll take you to full maturity, to the point, is what many Christians don't like. What you do, how you respond to God, you will see the results in this life. You know that God loves you, but not because He loves you doesn't mean that God will honor you. Amen. God won't honor you in everything. One of the definitions of honor is that God will back you up. He can't back you up in everything because it'll destroy you. Amen. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, in the King James Version, the old King James Version, dissimulation. But that word, hypocrisy. The hypocritical person. It's from the Greek word, which means an actor, someone that acts out. What an actor does. Speaking of the word, what that word means. You're acting in a false way, and it says that love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Part of the love of God is hating what is evil. Cling to what is good. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Nowadays, we live in a society where the world is telling them how to act. This is Christians mostly. The world is lost. The world preaches between themselves. Preaching meaning that they just proclaim between themselves. They call them their own things. But each thing that you see and hear, wherever it is, television, your phone, radio, you should always ask, is this in line with the Word of God? Actually, if you're a disciple of the Word, there you'll see if it's in line with the Word of God or not. You'll say, no, this isn't convenient for me. The love of God, everything that we do to this day, everything that we live and act on, should be motivated in the love towards God. Because we understand how much God loves us. Have you seen people in depression? People that they get discouraged for everything. Because again, if you've gone through that, I have mercy for you. Because I had depression more than 20 years ago. 2001 to be exact. Many years ago. But I didn't understand this. What calls my attention is when people who have been exposed to the Word of God, they live in depression. The only thing is, if you have depression, you're constantly thinking on yourself and on what you don't have and on how terribly everything goes for you. Instead of thinking in who you are in Christ. Amen. And if you understand that God is with you, God loves you, regardless if anyone else didn't love you and that no one sent you congratulations or told you how great you looked in a photo, even if it was a lie. Don't you see how the whole world looks so nice? They share a photo and everyone's handsome and beautiful. That's another subject, but what I'm saying is you would not be sad and saying, oh, hey, God loves me. God is with me. If you study, you just study the Word. You study the New Testament. If you study the Bible, especially in Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, Romans, the New Testament, as a parent, you'll realize the great responsibility that we have. It's not just, oh, sister so-and-so is pregnant. Oh, glory to God, how nice. Sister so-and-so is pregnant. Oh, the baby shower. And this and that and a party. And it's a girl, it's a boy. Congratulations, glory to God. I'm not saying that those things are wrong in its totality. You understand, correct? What I'm saying is, the truth is that those things, I'm going to use a word. See if you can, they're non-essential. They're things that will pass. They're kind memories, but that's it. But one of the times that I was traveling, speaking with a sister that I know, years ago this happened. I learned that her son had just passed away. And she told me, I still remember Brother Hughes. So, you know, she had photos, an album. No, perhaps they're not so used, but some of us still have a physical album of photos. New generation says, what's that? Remember house phones? You know, the blessing of those things that you were never struggling with? Oh, I'll signal or something like that. I was looking at some photos she was telling me of when I was pregnant. Then when I was in the hospital. It was a very painful situation for a parent to lose a child. Very painful. Glory to God, I haven't gone through that. By the grace of God, I believe I won't go through that. But what I'm saying is, well, I don't want to speak all of her life, which who am I to judge the sister or her husband? But she recognized that we haven't been the best parent. We've disobeyed God in many areas. We haven't done what we knew we had to do. Because we thought love was that. Just do what you want. Especially the age range has dropped to where kids of 8, 10 years old, they give them their own phone. And then there are parents where if the kid doesn't want to go to school or church or something like that, don't go. Because he didn't want to. Two of my children are already legally of age. Two of them, and they still live at home, and they still do what we tell them. And there are some things that I ask them, do you want to do this? Would you like to do this? But there are things where I don't have to ask for them, especially when it's based on the things of God. I don't ask them. I don't tell them, oh, please do this. You're going to help me in this. Or mom says, you're going to help me in this and that. We're not asking if they want to. A great error. Amen. Because I told you, don't expect much maturity from adolescent, especially someone with their hormones and carnality and their phone all over the place, or they're more carnal than spiritual. They're going to say no. The surprising thing is that there are parents who can hear this. They can hear this message today or any other place, and they'll say, oh yeah, we have to change. But they'll change for a time. And then they come back to the same thing. The thing is, the word is not in them. If you place the word, I give you a now. If you put the word of God, I give you my word now, that the Holy Spirit, without fail, will guide you to the word. Will guide you to the word of God. Seeking children who are still with them. There aren't parents where their children are no longer with them. Now, you could still give them good testimony. But speaking, if your children are still at home, the influence that you give them, the time that you spend with them, is very valuable. It's a great intercession. Amen. Especially when it's mealtime. My home, there's a rule. As today, after service, no phone when it comes to time to eat. No phone. In my house, no one complains. When Brother Hugh says something, it's a law. Although it may sound weird or this and that, the results are good. In home, I say no phone at the time of eating. No one has their phone. We sit down, especially on Sunday. It's sacred for me. It's the day of the Lord. We come to church, and then from there, we eat. And after that, we rest. Everyone, if wants to watch the television or sleep or something like that, it's different. But those first few hours, we take them as a time of the Lord, where we speak. And I speak, or Nubia, they also speak. They ask, or they say something that they have in their heart. And they're the parents. We can see if there's something truly from God, or it's perhaps something that could be influenced by other people, or if they say something, and then we say, where is it in the Word? Then they meditate or think on it. Which is why I can still say the disaster there is in the world. And people more and more lost and more departed from the things of God. I was saying that the average Christian assists a church just one time a week here in this country. And many of those churches, services are an hour or less because they don't want to bore the people. So now we don't want to be here, I don't know what, until it's super late. But church, oh, how boring. My advice is, what does God say on that? And go to the Word and see what He says. And what God says, you say, Father, it's here, I submit. As I told you, that there are things where I don't ask my children's opinion. I say, you're going to do it. Now, am I rude about it? Say, please, you're going to do it. I need your help here. But in the same way, how I expect my children to receive it. And really, that's submitment. Sometimes you won't want to submit. But that's what the word submitment is about. Same way, I act as well. When I see something here in the Word and the Lord speaks to my heart, see it in the Bible, I hadn't done it correctly, I hadn't understood it. It's fine, Lord, I understand, now I'm going to do it. Because I don't want to be, as I said, I'm not judging the sister in Christ, the person that I've known her for many years. But we don't want to go through these things. We don't want to be saying, oh yes, now Lord, now I'll change. When something happened, instead of changing and preventing. How many of you know that it's best to prevent things? It's best to hear from God. It's best to stay with the Word, to hear from God, hear from the Word, listen. Best. Because that will help you. It'll help you to make great changes. It's best to hear and prevent something than to go through a disgraceful act. Glory to God. So what does the Word say? Love be without hypocrisy. We don't have to act in hypocrisy. We'll speak the truth in love, but we'll speak the truth. And this is the truth. Dangerous times while we are on this planet Earth, dangerous things will continue, will happen. This isn't putting fear in anyone. It's just the way that it will be. But if we are in the Word of God, the Word of God assures us victory. Go to Psalms 91. 91 verse 6. Seven. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right, but it shall not come near you. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but none shall come near you. Glory to God. Look at verse 8. Only with your eyes, shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. The reward of the wicked. The issue is that there are many Christians who receive the reward of the wicked. And it's illegal. You and I were not called to this. Glory to God. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You live in Him, actually. How does verse 1 start? He who dwells means to live in. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice both words here. He who dwells. Dwell. Not he who visits. See, not he. Many Christians visit God. You know when they visit Him? When they have issues. One more time. Remember, you have to be mature with this because I can't spend my time. You have to be very mature. Very mature. Many Christians only visit God in their prayer time. When there's an issue. When there's a disgrace. That's when they visit God. But we can't live that way. Think about it. I'll go to the example of parents again. Think about your children. They just come to you, speak to you when they need something. Dad, I need money. Mom, I need money. I need food. Mom, I need clean clothes. And the rest of the day, they don't even talk to you. Don't even come near you. I don't know, but I don't know if that would please me a lot. Would that please you? Well, that's how the majority of Christians act with God. They just visit God. But here it says, he who dwells, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's protection there. This moment here in this place, the sanctuary, we're protected by these walls, by the roof of the elements, be it cold or heat. We're protected. There's protection. That's when you abide in the secret place. But for that reason, I gave 10 sessions before this in this series, 10 hours of study of how much God loves you, of who you are in Christ. And I know because there are people who have told me, including from this church, have told me. They have, what's the word? I don't think it's worry. Let's say there's something that concerns them. And other people who I know, faith partners of the ministry, ask me some questions and say, but Brother Hughes, it concerns to them saying, hey, but if God loves me regardless of my actions, that means then that the people will say, oh, well, then let's live in sin. God loves me the same. Hey, I can live however I want. God loves me the same. I can disobey because God loves me the same. Well, one more time. I give you lots of Bible. The answer is yes, you can obey or disobey, and God will love you the same. I'll put it again as a father. I don't know how many children you have, but this is an example. So just one of them isn't the most obedient, and the other is very obedient, but you love them the same. You don't like the attitude of the disobedient one, but you love them the same. Why do you think you're better than God then? But sin will open the doors to the devil. Disobedience and the result. I'll give you another example of results. The blessings of God, you won't see them the same. It won't be the same for he who obeys than he who disobeys. He who disobeys, the reason is not that God doesn't want to bless them. On the contrary, God will always want to bless you. That disobedience gives place to the devil. It's not God your issue, it's Satan. Which is why when we hear from God, we obey the word, we'll have better results. Amen. And we'll give a better testimony of God. But one more time, if you're a parent, some advice. What Nubia and I have done. We've maintained ourselves firm in the word. We've established what the word of God says. And we've told our children. You know what? We love you. We love you all as children. But we love God more. And we will obey God. And we will not give bad testimony because of any one of you. That's how I told them in the past. Some parents don't want to say this. But backwards, if you say it in faith, they see that you're serious. I believe the results will be good. Amen. And I'll tell you something. Again, don't be condemned by any error that you've made. Let it go, but don't continue making more mistakes. Hallelujah. Amen. Following along? Glory to God. You have to persevere in the word. Just as Ernest spoke on Tuesday, you have to continue, you have to mature in the word. You have to walk in order, as Sister Mireya spoke on Thursday. All of those things are part of growth. Hallelujah. It's part of what you'll do. In English, you know what unplug means, that term. Sometimes You have to remove, unclog all of that mess in your life, in your mind, at home. For example, there are people who tell me, Brother Hughes, pray for me that God can give me a better car. The first thing I say is, let's see how yours is right now. If I open it, it's full of diapers of your kid, shoes, old clothes thrown all over, McDonald's bags of food that you haven't eaten. Amen. It may seem like a joke, but do you believe that God will give you another car because of that if you don't even know what to do with the one that you have now? There are people who are hoarders. They're impulsive hoarders. They just gain things, many things. 50 years ago, boxes and boxes. Have you seen houses where you don't even know where to step on? You don't know where to walk through because come through here, now over here. And where's the living room? And you say, where, sit on that box. I sat on top of a box. But those type of Christians are always saying, and God will give me the money to make my house bigger. It'll never happen. Because you don't even know what to do with the house that you have now. First, start cleaning the house that you have now. Keep it clean. This has nothing to do with poverty or money. I've been in houses of people who are very humble. I remember I shared this with my son. Because, when you live in a such a big place, there's a lot of work. And Brother Rafael was there, not there at my home, but out there and seeing everything that we were doing. Taking out trash and taking care of the stuff from the past owner. So some of you know, others don't. I won't spend time on that. So remodeling some things and cleaning up. And it's a lot of property. And I contracted some people to do some tractor work, burning and burying some old junk. It was a very busy week. And I remember when my dad had a clinic there, in who the people couldn't economically pay for it. But in the afternoons or certain days, he had a clinic in the more impoverished neighborhoods. There, and to this day, this neighborhood called Palo Verde, some people, small houses, had maybe two chickens and a horse. And I remember this one house. It called my attention when I went with my dad on our long vacations after school. It caught my attention because this couple had bought property and it was just all brick. Then windows, and they put a metal roof. You went into their house, and their house, the floor was dirt, and it always smelled clean. The lady back then would water it and lower the dust, and then the house was always clean. I remember that we arrived at my dad, when we would go to those homes, forget about it. He was those who were again the home where he had his briefcase, but he'd barely sit down and he'd say, I see all types of color except coffee. Very quickly, I had to give him coffee. He loved his coffee. From there, all the Hughes family is very... loves their coffee, even my children. I remember that this lady, I asked for the bathroom. She said, oh yes, son, go over there. Go into the bedroom, and the bathroom is there. It didn't have a door. It was a curtain. Move the curtain and the room, again, clean. Again, the floor was dirt, but everything was clean. Then I went into the bathroom and clean. And when I went out, after talking with the patient, I forgot their name, but he asked for him, for her husband, and he said, at what time will so-and-so arrive? And he said, oh, around 3 or 4 o'clock. He had a tractor, and he would do type of dumping work. And once we're accumulating the money, that's where we're going to have the living room. But the people were very clean. Years passed, I went to that house again. a very beautiful home. It stood out of all the other houses on that road. It has to do with ways of thinking. People want something but don't care take care of what they already have. We should take care of everything. What has God given you? Houses, family, children. How are you taking care of it? Giving you a church. How do you take care of the church? All of that, that's all part of honoring God. Now, God loves you the same. But how do you respond to God now? Thank you. Go to Deuteronomy. I see some things here. Deuteronomy. Verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 22. Everything that I've been speaking has to do with love, gratitude, and worship towards the Lord. What was it? Love, gratitude, and worship towards the Lord. Everything that God has given you. How do you take care of it? Even your body, your life, your mind. How do you guard it? How do you respond towards God? And from there, you'll see the results. Brother Hughes, but you confuse me, someone told me. Because on one side, you tell me that God loves me regardless of my actions. But on the other side, you tell me that I have to respond to God. Well, again, as I'm telling you, in this planet Earth, it's not everything is automatic. For example, here's a very drastic example. Today, in this moment, I tell you, brothers, you know what? It is an example. Listening, it's an example. Today is my last day. Today I will no longer be the pastor because I'm going to go live to Phoenix with another woman. And I'm going to leave my wife and my children. You know what? God is going to love me. He'll hate what I do. Abhor what I do, but he won't hate me. But due to when God hates sin, abhors what we do, God will not be involved in our lifestyle. And you know who will involve and who will come in? Satan. You understand now? And I could go out away in Phoenix, leave everything here, and start us other a new life. As they say, why don't you do it, Brother Hughes? Because I'm not stupid. Amen. Simple as that. And I'll give you this order. Because I love God. For that reason, I love my wife. And this that you see here is hers. And she is mine. And I'm hers. Period. So don't be sending me emails or messages. I'm going to say it because of you and about other people out there. You like this, that, and no, I don't like any of that. I have my wife. You know what's happened? That back then, before having the office here in mpfcc.com and .org, well, they had my phone number. And radios and wherever we would send it, television. For more information, they'd put my phone number. So many people have my phone number. Even my email. They don't send me so much, but back then they'd send me things that. I said, what's this? Amen. What do you say we go to this place and the other? I said, no, thank you. Don't think that it was something ugly. You say, oh, well, what terrible things? No. It's true. My wife saw some of those photos and I told my wife, what's this? Hey, this looks nice. Yeah. But there are things that look nice, but is also destruction. And I enjoy my relationship with the Lord more and with my wife, my children, with you people. Glory to God. That's being wise. Deuteronomy 14 now. Now speaking of honoring God. 14:22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. I'm going to show you two words here. The word tithe as a verb. And I'll show you the word to enrich. 1 and 2. Actually, if you like to study, I'll give you the numbers here so you can look them up. So all the word tithe. The verb here, to give a tenth. I liked it here because all the dictionaries or every single one that I saw said to give, not to pay. To give a tenth, to give wealth in tenth, to set aside a tenth of what has been accumulated, to give a tenth of what has been accumulated. Remember in the beginning how we live in a society that is being destroyed. We live in a very hypocritical society. Because there are people, okay, thank you, you can remove it. There are people very hypocritical. But let's speak the truth here. Let's establish it with the word. Go to Philippians 4 verse 8. You see some things here that may sound quite harsh for some of your ears. Now my thing here isn't to speak harshly. The thing is that the truth may sound harsh. My thing is not to speak harshly. The thing is I speak the truth, but the truth sounds harsh. In Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, things are pure, lovely, of good report, true, honest, just. Well, let's speak here of both. Give me some minutes here and you'll like what I'm going to speak. Because this is part of understanding and touching on maturity. There are two types of people whom you'll deal with when speaking of these subjects, when you mention tithing or giving. First of all, the world. But second of all, carnal Christians. And unfortunately, here's a strong thing that I'm going to say. There are certain apostles that they automatically call themselves apostles. Especially nowadays on social media. Almost everyone is a prophet or an apostle. And I believe in the ministry of the apostle and in the ministry of the prophet. But there are many, many self-called and false apostles. Because if you're an apostle, why do you have to be proclaiming it every single second? I don't know if you've seen my business cards. I just say Ignacio Hughes. I don't have to be saying pastor and teacher. I did it before because there were people who told me do it. But it was because they were professional people. In business, I am in ministry. There are people, for example, Frankie Perez, lawyer. That's fine because they need to know who you are when you give it to them. But I realize that I don't have to put myself a title or something like that, pastor or teacher. Just as Ignacio Hughes, when people see and go into Word of Faith Ministries or and follow our social media, they see and automatically see that I'm the pastor because that's the ministry in which I'm in. And I'll tell you this, and this will help you if you're humble. These people have to call themselves apostle this and apostle that and prophet. And what they emphasize on is on money. And they make marathons of asking for money. This is how they speak on just money and money. There are people who truly have not repented of what they've done. But for example, they let faith and all that, the word of faith, they were with heresies. Now they want to go back and they want to present the world that I repented. If a person truly repents, why don't you grab, now that you take advantage of social media, why don't you grab and say, hey, you know what, I taught heresies, I harmed the people, I destroyed churches, entire churches, I destroyed matrimonies, my own matrimony, I repent. Is that right? But no, and due to those types of people and many others, when in a church we speak of money, because part of a good church, as we spoke of salvation and of who we are in Christ, and of your position in Christ and of healing and of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and of praying in other tongues, different types of prayers as we've been studying in our midweek services, which I'll touch now on prayer of supplication and I forgot which other points, prayer of agreement. When you see all these things, or apologies, when you say all those things, we should also teach on finances because it's part of our redemption. Did you know that? Go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, where was he poor? Yet for your sakes he became poor. He wasn't necessarily poor when he lived here. Notice here. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that though he was rich, we've studied that he lacked nothing, that you through his poverty might become rich. But there are extremes. Who understands that there are extremes? For everything that there is spoken, there's an extreme. If I speak on the grace of God, there will be people who understand that, oh, I can live in disobedience because God loves me the same. Well, they'll pay or they'll receive the results of that. I can't control what other people think. I have to speak the truth. But those are extremes. There are other people where if you speak of faith or confession, they're confessing and confessing the word. Because they're going to confess the word so that God can do something in their lives. Instead of confessing the word because God already did something in their life. But you won't be able to avoid it. There are people who will always misunderstand. That's my point. Well, there are also extremes in finances, unfortunately. If you study, the Bible says that Abraham was rich in gold, silver, and cattle. But I've heard many people of faith where they say, oh, God wants you a millionaire, a multi-billionaire. Well, if God told you, confess it and be filled with those scriptures. But the thing is, when preachers start saying that, they put a burden on the people. And then the people are doing things, fake businesses work that God didn't tell them to act on. Nowadays, it's very, very popular to work in cryptocurrencies. But people have lost millions in those types of things. You have to understand money and know of money. I'm trying to find the word here. And instruct yourself in the financial world. It's not just, oh, give so much and invest so much and they'll give you so much back. And now I didn't say that. There are people who have won money, yeah. But it's very, very, very risky. So you have to learn the world of finance. You have to study finance. And I recommend that you do it, but do it in line with the word and follow the direction of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I recommend it, but I won't recommend you to do something out of covetousness. Be guided, be directed. What's the point then? So with all of this having said, unfortunately, there are many people who are like this in the body of Christ. Fake apostles, fake pastors, fake prophets. When they speak of money, the world will criticize us. And the world is very hypocritical. Why do we have so many people here? I'm just going to speak of my country in Mexico. This isn't to criticize. Why do we have so many Mexicans here in the United States working? Many even with visas just for that. They just renew their visas to work. You know why? Out of money. This is the truth. This isn't to criticize. Oh, but Brother Hughes, people have necessities. I'm not touching on that. You understand? The point is, in general, is that they're speaking then that money we see is important. Yes, it's very important. It's part of our society. We live in a financial society, in a society out of marketing, where every day we need money. You agree? Do you agree? That's truth. We need money. Many of us, the moment we open our eyes, we already need money. Money can leave quickly. We need everything. I'm not saying that it's wrong. The issue is then when we speak on money, then the hypocrisy comes in of people of the world as people in Christians in the churches. Many carnal Christians and many carnal and many people of the world will betray you out of money. Friendships have been destroyed out of money. Entire families have been destroyed because of money. So money has an importance. I recommend a series that I gave through the internet. Help me there in multimedia. Who's ever on the screen? It's a true prosperity. If you listen to it, it was a reason. Pastor Lopez, who was in California, I think some of you saw that Facebook Live, because he liked the way that I explained it. Now, going back to criticism, but some people say, oh, you have money to even pay for a chauffeur. But it turns out it was my son just driving on our way to recordings. Some of you saw it on a Facebook Live. But suppose that it was a private driver, chauffeur. As far as I know, that I asked for that woman. That woman hasn't given a single dollar split in half to this church. I haven't asked anything from her. How does she know what I do, my businesses, what I give? And many of you can see it. Many of you can go to the administration, how much we've given to this day. What we give, what we've sown, what we've helped people. You don't know what I do, my businesses, my work. Have you been with me? This is my critics out there. You know, people here know. Another one said, oh yeah, that man has a lot of jewelry. Again, people just criticize. This ring, many of you know who Benjamin Alfaro is, a good friend of mine. This glove here was given by Misael over here, one of the youth. This ring is the only one that I bought when I proposed to Nubia. That Nubia also has. I bought them in a mall there in Mesa. And I cried. Of joy? No, because of what I paid for them. Amen. It's gold. Her gold, because she wanted something out of gold. And this one was given to me by Benjamin, a friend in when we were still in the church of my pastor, who is now in heaven. We were praying. Benjamin was to the side. Then Sarah, his wife, and Nubia was to my left. Sarah was next to me. And then he went around, grabbed my hand, and put the ring on. I said, no, Benjamin, look, my wife's right here. Amen. He said, the Lord told me to give you this ring. Glory to God. Is he here? Even his initials are here, actually. Amen. So why am I not going to put on something that was given to me? Just because people are going to think? Doesn't matter what people think. In certain way, I do care for what you think, which is why I share part of my private life, in part, not all of it. What I'm saying is, these people don't give a penny, and then they criticize us. And other people, and this is part of what you need to understand. Saying, oh, why do they always ask for money? Do we ask for money? You know, it's part of receiving offering. Learn to speak so that they can speak as well correctly. But you see, people just don't want to sow nor money nor time or effort in the things of the Lord. They just want to receive everything. People think that everything that we give is free. Have you checked our website lately? Have you checked the app in English and in Spanish? Some high-class, top-notch apps. I think in Word of Faith Ministries, in English, in our YouTube, we have more than 20,000. You think that's free, just putting them on air, editing them? The USB memories, you think it's all free? Because we give them away. Someone pays for this. It's part of you and my faith partners. And for that reason now, if you're of those who believe in these things, now, glory to God, you give out of love, but also start speaking to them. Start speaking and proclaiming multiplication in what you give. Father, I speak a harvest in the name of Jesus. I speak finances of what I give in the kingdom of God. It's good to help the people and to sow in the people. But growth comes when you sow in the kingdom of God. You all say it very quiet after that. One more time, understand Bible. Harvest comes when you first sow in the kingdom of God, and then when you receive a harvest, then we can help people as well. But it's the word. It's sowing in the word of God. Very quickly, are you interested in this? Write it down. In Strong's 62:37 of the word tithe, and the word to enrich, 62:38, and I'll put them up there so you can see how similar they are. Even pronunciation is very similar. I'll repeat it one more time. Tithing, 62, 27. Or 37. And to enrich, 62:38. For God, which is why this series is titled Saving Your Soul. For God, tithing and to enrich go hand in hand. To God. Not for the carnal mind, not for the opinions of the world. Actually, look at the word tithing. In the Hebrew, you see that word there? Now notice the word to enrich. Notice this word here. This word. That word there. You know one word is pronounced, that word there, somewhat is pronounced Ezer. Ezer. And the other one is Ezer. Oh, brother, Hughes, I can barely even speak Spanish. Then you want me to speak Hebrew or English? I even give you the number here. 37 and 38. You have to see the way of thinking of God. God thinks very differently. Genesis 14, I'm about to wrap up. But what I've always taught you is the same. Has not changed. I don't believe any of that, Brother Hughes. Because I saw this idiot on the internet, and that idiot said that tithing is of the law and I don't have to do it under grace. Well, you believe that idiot, not the word. That's fine. You don't have to do it. You don't believe in this? Don't give a single dollar split in half. Not even out of sorrow. Don't give anything. Oh, I don't believe in any of that. I'm going to keep coming here and I'm going to sit down and I'm not going to give anything. That's fine. You're welcome. Don't give a single penny. Don't worry about it. But this is for those who believe. If you want to receive and give in faith because you love God, because you're thankful with God, just if you think about how good God has been to this day with you, that will exhort you to give. And once you give, you'll call a harvest. Now, Genesis 14, verse 23, so you can see that word to enrich. Well, it's what I wanted to speak on, but how many of you know that you have to be guided by the Spirit? Speak of everything that we spoke on. 23. That I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. The word there, rich, in the Hebrew literally means to be rich, to gain riches, to increase, to tithe, to grow, and to accumulate. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You give because you love God. You give tithe. Many of us give more than 10%. None of us are obligated. God didn't put a gun to my head to give what I'm going to give today. But I'm not dumb now that I'm giving. I proclaim and call that harvest. I don't have to be depending on the government to see how much the government is going to give me. If the government over there or over here is going to give me so much because I'm of a certain age. There are Christians like that. Oh, I'm about to be 60. Have you heard people like that? My God, brothers and sisters, God loves you, but please remove that mentality. You're going to be poor all your life, and you'll never be a blessing to anyone. Remove that, oh, well, as long as I have my little check, and like they give me this for retirement, I'll make it, I won't need anything else. That's pride and the kingdom of God. What about it? Yeah, it's fine. Live the way you want to. In a trailer, live in a trailer. Glory to God. You want to live in a small home, live in a small home. You want to live in a mansion? Live in a mansion. God has no issue with that. The issue is where our heart is. And unfortunately, there are many false prophets, false apostles, regardless, I don't care which where they watch this video. Oh, so-and-so said, well, say whatever you want to. I told you the truth. My point is to say the truth. And there are many cheaters. But us here are not like that. Glory to God. Nuvi and I speak of giving, and Nuvi and I give here in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Stand on your feet. Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again, time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.